Are you the oldest guy in here, Barry?
You're older than me.
That means you're the second oldest guy.
And you get to ask the first question.
Okay, go ahead.
You're the new BC.
Well, before we start talking about this year, since the national championship, this program has had a lot of different kinds of adversity. Mm-hmm. How do you regard these last 5 years? Just a trough? The best you could do? How would you characterize it?
The last 5 years? So you're talking about since 2009?
Yeah, since you won it all.
Yeah. 10, 11, 12, I thought, 10, we didn't play very well on the court. I had a lot of injuries. It was a tough, tough year. But 11 and 12, I thought we were pretty doggone good. And then 12, we were a broken wrist away from what I thought was the best team in the country. The last 2 years is what I predict. The last 2 years, there's been more junk than I wanted to deal with. And it's made the job not as much fun. There's no question. But one thing it's done is just to confirm what I truly love is being on the court with the kids. Because the last 2 years, that's been my salvation. And it's been something that I always knew that I enjoyed, even when I was before I became an official coach. When I'm going back in the summertime and helping out my old high school coach with the players at Robertson High School, I really, at that point, knew that I was going to love coaching. And so the last 2 years, that's what I've tried to dive into and do that as much as I could, and enjoy that as much as I could to get by with the other stuff. You know, but that's and if you're talking about the stuff on the court, you know, in a lot of ways I've been very pleased. We make a change a couple of years ago to go small, and the kids responded, and even the kids that lost minutes, they sat over there and cheered like crazy and tried to be a great part of the team, and we made a great run. And then last year with the indecision about who we were going to have even on our team, and yet the team performed really, really, really well. The last 2 years, I think we've been tied for second or tied for third or something like that in this league, and there's 108 teams in the league, so, you know, that's pretty impressive. You know, so on the court, I've been not satisfied because you always want more, no question, but I've been really proud of the last two teams that we've coached.
Coach, along those lines, 2 years ago, you ended up having to go small because of limitations in the post. Last year was kind of the opposite. We didn't have enough bodies on the perimeter. This team you have now, do you think it's more balanced than what you've had the last couple of years?
I think there is more balance. Now we've got to play like it. You know, I want the perimeter guys to play really well and the post guys to play really well, and then you have a really good team. And we had that in, I guess, the last really, really good team consistently was 2012, even though last year at times we were pretty doggone good. But that team had the consistency of and the balance of inside and outside scoring. But we do have some people there. Now they got to step up and just do it. And three practices is all we've had, and I've been pleased with the workouts.
Is this the ideal makeup of the team for you, a really good point guard, a lot of depth?
It's not ideal. You know, if it's ideal, I'd have Marcus and Marvin and Tyler and Tyler and John. And all of, now, that'd be a really ideal team, you know, because we could do everything. This team does and hasn't shown yet on the court against other teams that they can do everything. We still don't have anybody that's proven they can be an inside scorer, whether it's Tyler Hansbrough, Tyler Zeller, Sean May. We don't have anybody on this team that's proven that they can score against relatively quality opponents every night. We haven't proven yet that more than one guy can step out to the three-point line and make the shot. So I don't think that I can even answer that question yet because nobody's proven all those different things.
When you have somebody as talented as Marcus, is it a complicated process to figure out who to put around him or what skills, what strengths you need to kind of complement what he can do? Or is
it's not nearly as complicated as trying to figure out how to do that around a guy who can't play. You know, that's the thing. He's a basketball player. Even his freshman year, guys, go back and check your notes and all of it, half of it. No, two-thirds of it thought I was crazy when I kept telling him he was going to be a really good player. And two-thirds of it thought I didn't know what the crap I was talking about. But he's a basketball player. He understands how to play the game, Brett. He makes people better himself. And he sort of tries to figure out where he can do the best thing for everybody else. I mean, he really does. He's more a facilitator who can do things himself with a little help from those guys. He can't do it by himself. He's got to have somebody setting the screens, getting the ball to him, getting it off the board, getting it out, and all those kind of things. But it's not like he's just a shooter. Okay, what can we do to complement him? Or he's just a driver. Now, do we have any other shooters that don't allow people to back in? Is he just a defensive player? He's a complete basketball player. He's the best shooter, probably the best driver, best defender. You know, if I had five of them at the same size, we'd be really good.
It's only two games, but what out of the Bahamas trip this summer and the practices that led up to it, did you learn about this group, or was that not enough of a sample size to really tell anything?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, you can bring them back for 10 practices. We only had four. You know, we could make a trip once every 4 years, and I didn't want to take their whole summer. They'd done a great job on the court and an even better job in the classroom over the last year. I was really proud of them. Didn't want to take their whole summer to bring them back for 10 days, so we brought them back 4 days. A couple of things, I think Isaiah was a positive. Now he's got to understand I need him to do that all the time, and when the defense is aimed at you. It was great for the first game because we spent too much time on all the water slides and everything during the course of the day and forgot we had a game that night. And so we won't be on the water slides quite as much when we get down there in November. So that'll help us some a little bit right there as well. But, you know, the freshmen getting Joel, Justin, and Theo out there, I think that was really good for them. You know, they'd had the practices. We had eight practices, actually. We had one a week during the second session of summer school and then the four before we went down there. So there's no question I think it helped us. And, you know, we haven't shown that retention as much as I wanted to from what we talked about in July and August when we get here and start practice yet.
Back to Marcus for a second. With Joel and Nate, how do you envision the three of them sharing those positions? How much do you envision Marcus playing with the ball, without it, and how do you think, is that going to take a while to shake out?
The best and most truthful answer is I don't know. But I have a track record. In 2002, we had a team that's pretty good and made the Final Four, and I started three point guards because they were the three best perimeter players. Jeff Boshi was a senior, and he had started at the point as a freshman. After that, Kirk Heinrich came in and started at the point for 2 years, and Boshi started at the two spot. And then Aaron Miles came in, and I moved Kirk all the way to the three and played Boshi at the two and Aaron at the one. So I've done that before, and I can easily do that again. And I was very, very, very comfortable with that. When decisions have to be made that are going to determine the outcome of the game, Marcus is going to be heavily involved. And whether that's with the ball in his hand to make the play or make the pass or make the shot or whatever, I don't know yet. But he's going to be involved in doing that. I think that I've mixed them up in practice now for 11 practices, eight this summer and counting the tour, and three practices so far. I have yet to put all three of them on the court at the same time, but that's going to happen. And so, again, that was the best answer because I haven't seen it yet, but I'm not against. I mean, you know, just not. I mean, half you guys weren't alive then, but we've started three-point guards, and it was the easiest coaching I ever done in my life. Now, the two guys up front were pretty good too, but we had Drew Gooden and Nick Collison and three-point guards, and so we were pretty good.
When we see Kennedy, we obviously see a different-looking guy from last year. What have you seen that's different about him as a player?
Well, he's running better. He's more explosive. I want him to be more aggressive thinking. You know, that doesn't mean foul people. Get the ball and go stronger to the basket. If you're not carrying 285 to 295 now, to explode up there and get it closer to the rim when you do it. I think he's got to realize that he's worked his tail off the court to do something to me. It's a lot more difficult than changing as a basketball player. I mean, losing 25, well, came in at 319, he's in 270 to 275 range now. That's a lot more difficult than what I'm asking him to do as a basketball player. So he's done that, the harder thing, but getting him to understand that explosiveness, and you got to have it more than once. You got to be the second jumper, the third jump, be more aggressive, and the thinking part that I need you to score. Be more aggressive to get that low post position where I want you to get it. Is the what?
Is the body there for the quickness that you need for?
It's a heck of a lot closer now than it was last year.
So it's just combining those two.
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's not as explosive as he would be at 230, but he may not be Kennedy at 230. I mean, Charles Barkley wasn't, you know. I mean, he was able to be very explosive. I'm not saying Kennedy has Sir Charles's explosiveness, but he can have Kennedy's explosiveness and get it better.
Coach, once the season starts, the games come fast and furious. Is this a time where you can teach a little bit more and you enjoy that?
Oh, I love this time period. I really do. That the teaching, trying to mold the guys. I've always said coaching is trying to get my guys to do what they can do better than you can get your guys to do what they can do. You know, if I have more talent and get them to do that, then we're going to be really good. Trying to mold a team is trying to get everybody aimed at one objective, trying to get everybody to make sacrifices for the common goal, try to get everybody to believe that how we do is going to take care of everybody individually. Because the culture that we have nowadays in high school and summer league basketball is not a team culture. It's an individual culture. And so that's a big challenge. But getting everybody to make sacrifices towards a common goal is one of my thrills.
Roy, have you ever had an offensively gifted person like Marcus be such kind of a reluctant scorer to, you know, to take over when he needs to, or even to look for a shot aggressively early?
Very good question, but I've had some good players. I mean, Paul Pierce could score pretty well. Rafe LaFrentz could score pretty well. Here, Raymond, Marvin, Jawad, Sean, all on the same team. Tyler Hansbrough was probably the best example of it. If you look at his career the last year, he probably made more sacrifices than anybody else just because Ty and Wayne and Danny just kept getting better and better and better. And part of the reason they got better and better and better because people were so worried about Tyler. So it's a short list, but Marcus, I had to tell him, I've said this, we practiced three times, and I know I've repeated this at least three times. That is our best play, and don't everybody forget that. You know, if that's the case, then we should give him more opportunities to do some things, and he handles that really well. There's not a conceited bone or a selfish bone in the boy's body.
Of the practices you've had so far, what have you seen from Justin Jackson that's been the most impressive?
He's got the knack. I mean, he really does, which we saw when we recruited him too, is he's a very efficient player. Ball bounces around, all of a sudden it bounces to him and he lays it up. You know, it's a pretty good trait, but he is a very efficient player that got to get him to be a little bit better on the defensive end of the floor, got to get him bigger and stronger so he can help us on the backboards. But like I said the other night in the pickup game, for a late night, he misses his first shot and then makes the next seven or eight. So it helps us, and three practices in is a little too early to try to say much more than that, though.
His time away, there are a lot of unknowns about Stillman White. Could you just kind of fill in the blanks on, because it's been such a long time since he's played college game?
Yeah, it really has. He hasn't had the retention of what we did a couple of years ago nearly as well as I thought he would, and yet he's bounced back quicker as a player than I ever thought he would. He's doing fine. You couldn't have told that yesterday when you'd have seen him hanging over the trash can, but he's really doing okay. And But it's been a shock to see how quickly some of the things have come back to him. And I'm pleased with him, I really am.
With this freshman group, is this one of the more, you talked about Justin a second ago, as a whole, is the group one of the more college-ready freshman groups you've had in the past couple of years?
Oh, man. I'm just thinking you asked a question. This is my 27th year as a coach, so it's hard to think of every group of freshmen. They know how to play. All three of them know how to play basketball. It's not just been give the ball to me and let me go score. They can make the easy play when it's supposed to be made. So in their basketball IQ, I would definitely put them up there with some of those really good teams. But you remember, also had Marcus, Bobby, and Tyler Hansbrough starting, you know, as freshmen. And one of those guys skewed the curve, but the other two really know how to play too. But no, their basketball IQ and their sense of knowing what to do instinctively is really good.
You talked about Kennedy and some of the guys you have in the post. How much more comfortable are you with Bryce and Desmond and Kennedy from the beginning of last year to now, just their growth and what you feel like they can do?
Well, I have great expectations for those guys. I think they've all put the work in to get better off the court, and now they've got to see that coming into success on the court. And our practices right now are pretty vicious inside. I mean, there's some guys wanting to play, and you know, they're not taking many names, and they're just taking prisoners is what they're doing. And it's that part I really like. The competition is pretty heated. But those guys all did a nice job in the offseason of doing the things that they can do with their body, and now they've got to translate it into, again, I've said this so many times, I'm already sick of hearing it myself, but one or two or three of those guys has got to step up and say, I'm going to be a big-time player. I don't think there's anybody's question in here that Marcus last year stepped up and said, I'm going to be a big-time player. Now one of the post players has got to step up and say that and not just be willing to run up down the court and wait on Marcus to do something.
Marcus has said that he wants to be, you know, primary point guard. I'm assuming he starts there. How do you see the other guards' body shaking out? Just how wide open is that?
Same question, same answer. I have no idea. It's three practices, guys, and I could start all three of them. You know, and I could start one of them. I really don't know. You guys are smarter when it comes to that than I do. I can't do that after three practices, but they will all play together. Theo could play the two. JP could play the two and not have but one little guy in there. I don't see a lineup without any of the three little guys in there, but yeah, that's a question that not even close to being answered because, you know, we got a lot of time left.
Could the second point,
pardon?
Could Justin fit in the mix too?
Not at the two, no. But again, thinking what you've been here a couple of times, our two and three are the same spot. It's just it will go right or left. It's mirrored, which means it's the same job. But right now, I would have one of the little guys, and then JP or Theo, and then Justin. You know, so he's only down to about seventh or eighth guy.
Does that kind of give you flexibility to kind of mix and match lineups depending on who you're playing, what their strengths are?
You know, some people do that. I don't. I mean, I try to pick the five guys that deserve it the most and play them and let everybody else adjust to our best lineup. And that's what I'll do, whether it's Marcus and Justin at the two and JP at the three and Luke Davis and Nate Britt at four and five. If those are the best five, that's what I'm going to do, and everybody else is going to have to adjust. But I've never really changed lineups to match somebody else's lineup. But, you know, so ask a question about going big. I do feel that we'll have more balance, but I'm not going to be against playing Justin Jackson at the four if he's more effective. And so I guarantee you there's been one constant. I think Marcus has been on the white team every day. And I don't think JP may have been on the white team every day. I'm not sure. But if it is, those are the only two guys that's been on the white team, which is the first team every day.
Thanks, Theo. What do you like so far about his game?
Instinctively, he makes good plays around the basket, going to the basket, making an easy play. Sometimes makes it a tough play, too. But, I mean, he has an ability to take the ball to the basket. He can be a very good defensive player. We just got to get his level of intensity to a higher level and be able to maintain that. But, you know, one of the great accomplishments that anybody can get from me is to say somebody reminds me of Jack Emanuel. And Theo's a more athletic Jack Emanuel who can score. And so we need him to play to his strengths, you know, get the ball, bust out on the break, get to the offensive board, get some steals, go down on the break. And when he does that, he's really good.
You said you have high expectations for those big guys. More specifically, Bryce, how is he different this year than he was last year? And do you think that there could be a breakthrough season coming for him?
Well, I'll still go ahead and say what I'm saying. Somebody, yeah. I don't give a dang who it is. Somebody in Carolina Blue.
More breakthrough ability, maybe?
Well, he's got more ability than somebody else. But I'd love it to be Bryce, Isaiah, Kennedy, Desmond, and Joel, all of them. But I don't have any favorites as to who it is. Bryce has played more. Bryce has more experience. He really did a nice job in the offseason. He's added, you know, 15 to 20 pounds. He looks different. Now you got to take that weight and do something with it. Now, at the same time, Kennedy's really done something offseason because he's lost 15 to 20 pounds. But Bryce has not been on the white team every day. Kennedy's not been on the white team. They've got to separate. Somebody's got to step forward to separate and say, I'm the guy, and nobody's done that yet.
Becoming more efficient, Justin seems scoring the ball where he doesn't really have to dominate the ball. Is his adjustment to college on an experienced team where Marcus and Bryce have been experienced scorers, is that different than some freshmen have to really adjust coming in, what it's like to be maybe a third option?
Well, you know, Justin's unique because his high school team was him and four of the guys. And then he played on a summer league team that was very gifted. And so he's played every way you can. For his high school team to win the homeschool stuff, you know, he had to get 40, you know, if the other team was any good at all. And yet when he played with those other guys, he's very good instinctively just making the right plays. So he's a little different because he's played it every way you can play it, which has been very good for him. I mean, it really has. But he has the knack, and I hope he keeps it for every practice and every game. But he's going to play a lot of basketball.
Anybody else?
What have you seen of Isaiah in practice that we didn't see in games last year?
Oh, nothing, with the exception of you saw it. You'd see the brief flash of the dunk against Louisville and Mohegan Sun, or you'd see it, but I've seen it more often of those plays. Particularly in Nassau, he had a chance. I mean, wasn't he a leading scorer in one game, 17, 18, 19? He could have had 30 if he'd make a layup, you know, that kind of thing. So it's time for the same answer over here. I don't care if it's Bryce or Isaiah or who it is, but somebody's got to step forward. But he has more ability than he's comfortable showing. I got to get him to understand you're pretty doggone good. Step out there and be more aggressive, because when you have that ability, show it. And I think that's one thing with Isaiah. He just hasn't shown that yet that he can do it, but he can.
Is he in that same position?
What's that?
Last year?
Who?
Isaiah?
No, he's strictly post player this year. Last year he was 3 and 4 trying to help him be a better perimeter player, and I think it's helped him as a 4. But
how about one more old tech question?
Okay.
When you were talking about team culture not being as evident anymore, is that an older person's view of the world when looking at younger people, or has the society changed that much?
The basketball culture has changed drastically. You know, I can remember, I really have a great memory, and I can remember what the game used to be and what was important in recruiting and who you're involved with in recruiting, and it's changed drastically since that time period. And kids, they've changed a little, but they've changed more because of the groups around them, you know, because it is a focus on me, and how many shots am I getting up, because I've got to get this scholarship so I can get to the green room so I can make all the money and have the nice homes and the cars and that kind of thing. And that's I can remember, in not that long ago, when guys were thrilled to get a college scholarship offer. Now I've had guys say, well, coach, you know, you haven't even offered. I said, well, I'm calling that offer. And it was, you know, you think, well, are you ready to commit? You know, if you wanted an offer from me that badly, so I'll offer you the next day, they go somewhere else. So just waste my freaking phone call. You know, this it's like notches. You know, in the West, put your notches on the gun. A guy says, I had 27 kills. Well, now they say I've got 27 scholarship offers. Anybody need anything else?
All right, we'll go outside.
Thank you.